Well, church, what a great Christmas. And I know that for some of you, this might have been one of the toughest Christmas seasons ever for you and your family, because perhaps this year you lost a loved one. And for others in the room, this just might have been the best Christmas ever because you welcomed a new little one. And for some of you, you got married this year. And some of you got new jobs this year. Some of you lost jobs this year. But our hope, as you walked through it all, was that you walked through this season differently this year. Our prayer for you and your family was that you did more this Christmas season than simply seek the perfect Christmas present for your kids. That you did more than seek the perfect Christmas present for your parents or your grandkids or whoever. That you did more than seek to decorate your house. So that you did more than seek to have the perfect family get-together and all of you survived and no one killed each other. Right? Because that's what, oftentimes, that's what it is. Our hope is that you did more than that. I think all of those things are good, but our prayer, starting all the way back on November 28th, the first Sunday of Advent, would be that you would, every day, seek Him. That was our prayer for you, that every day this Christmas season, you would seek Him. This entire Christmas series has been about trying to help you know who it is that we seek. But knowing isn't all there is to seeking. Lots of people know that He is the light of the world. Lots of people know the story about His birth. Lots of people know His name, and lots of people, at least intellectually, know that He took their place. But the question becomes, what do you actually do with that? What does that actually mean? How am I to know what He really wants of me? What does it mean to truly seek Him? Because our prayer for you is to give you more than just facts about who He was. And so here's the truth that most of us in the room and online aren't going to like today. Is that God wants you to know His will for your life more than you want to know it. God wants you to know His will for your life more than you want to know it. And He takes personal responsibility to see that you discover it. That's what He wants. I have to be honest. The Sunday after Christmas Eve, we know there's lots of guests in the room and lots of family. And so lots of pastors tend to do fluffy or easy messages. Yeah, I don't really do that so much because I don't know how to do that, really. And when I read the text here, when I see what's supposed to happen at the end of a series, I got nothing like that. So I guess I was going to say I'm sorry, but I don't apologize well that way either. It's going to be, this is what God's word. Because to be honest, easy and fluffy, I would say, is that's easier and far less offensive. And I'd feel better about me, right? And you'd feel better about you. But I read through the book of Isaiah, and as I think about what it means to seek Him, I just couldn't get to easy. I couldn't get to fluffy. What He's looking for in us is far different than what we might want to hear. If we're going to seek Him, there's some things that we need to begin doing. And here's the first one. If I'm truly going to seek Him in 2022, if I'm truly going to seek Him, I have to change the main question I'm asking. I have to start asking myself the question, what does the Bible say? In 2022, I've got to start asking myself the question, what does the Bible say every day? Not what does culture say, not what does the internet say, not what does CNN or Fox News or whatever your news outlet says. I don't even have to say, not even what I like or what I want today. The question has been and always will be, what does the Bible say? See, to know the will of God, you have to know the Word of God. You will never know the will of God if you do not know the Word of God. But many of us don't want to put the time in to read the Word of God consistently, so we simply pray that God would show us His will in some other way. I know, God, you put it in writing, you put it in black and white, but I could really use a billboard right now, right? I could really use a sign. What's truly fascinating about Christians today is that while many of us struggle to discern what God wants us to do and what God wants me to say and how God wants me to act or whatever in specific situations, much of what he desires is already revealed in the Bible. For instance, God clearly states in his word that God's will for us, all of us in this room, is that we would revere him and that we would draw near to him. That's his will. That we would revere him and that we would draw near to him. That's what he wants. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Well, God's word clearly states that he desires for us to love doing what's right, to love doing good. But then you hear that and you think, well, that's pretty relative, right? What if my version of good is different than your version of good? Doesn't work that way. Isaiah chapter 5 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Woe to those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we hear that and we think, well, how do I know if I'm doing that? Because I'm not intentionally trying to make evil good and good evil. I'm not actually trying to do that. But here's where it starts to get really difficult. If I'm serious about seeking him, then I have to begin to ask the question, are my beliefs and my values and my thoughts and actions in line with what he says? Are my values, beliefs, actions, and thoughts in line with what he says? If seeking him is truly a priority in 2022, then the first thing we have to do when faced with a decision is ask what parameters, what promises, what principles has God set forth in Scripture? That's where we have to start. When I ask this question, it takes away my wants, takes away my opinions and my upbringing, and replaces that with what God says in his word. I wonder what God thinks. When we plead with him to reveal his will, when we're not living out the will he's already revealed to us. Oh God, show me your will. And God's like, again? Like again? I mean, do you want me to write the Cliff Note version? Like, I wonder what he thinks there. He's probably not nearly as sarcastic as I am, because that's my spiritual gift. But I'm wondering if he has some of that involved here. The will of God isn't a curiosity for us to study. It's a command for us to obey. God isn't obligated to reveal his will unless we're willing to do it. He is not obligated to reveal that to us unless we're willing to do it. See, the question I don't want to ask after a series like this is, do I just want a view of God's will, or am I committed to do God's will? Do I just want to know it and then go, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. Or do I really want to do it? For instance, here's some clear statements from God's word regarding what it looks like to live for him. And these are just a few. There are lots and lots more. God wants us to practice justice, love kindness, and walk humbly. That's Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what it says. God doesn't want us to be conformed, but to be transformed. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God doesn't want us to marry a spiritually mismatched mate. Believers should not marry non-believers. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? God wants us to be set apart and to abstain from immorality. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. God wants us to be thankful in all that happens. That's 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. How hard is that? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants you to give what God has given to you. That's Proverbs chapter 3. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. God wants you to do good even when bad is done to you. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. God wants you to repent and receive Christ. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And the crazy thing is, I just offended a whole bunch of people with what I just said. A whole bunch of people who are watching online in this room are like, you know what? I don't like that. Kevin, I don't agree with that. Kevin, I don't want to hear that. And that's okay, because I didn't write that. Right? God did. That's his will for your life, not Kevin's will for your life. I'm the messenger. Shoot me. Fine. It does not change the message. It's what he wrote. I might not agree with him or believe what he said is best, but none of that means it's not true for me. That's not right for me. That is not what's best for me. The beautiful truth here is everything he says is so freeing. Well, why is it freeing? Because when I live my life for him and according to his word, I don't have to worry what other people think. I don't. If I live for him and this is what scripture says, I'm going to live that out, then it doesn't matter what other people call me a weirdo. I don't care. I'm okay with that. I'm not here to please you. There is someone else who I'm living for. See, if Christ is my master, if he is my Lord, if Christ is reigning and ruling in every area of my life, it's about what he wants. It's about what he thinks. My life belongs to him and should reflect his thoughts and his values and his principles in all things. Seeking him starts with engaging his word in 2022. See, I'm spending some significant time on this very first point here because I think it's crucial. I came across a graphic this week. It's called the Wisdom Pyramid. I saw this online. The Wisdom Pyramid. I think it's spot on. So it's on the screens behind me. If you're online, I'm sorry. I'll do my best to describe it for you. It looks a lot like those old food pyramids that show how to eat healthy when we were kids. Remember that? You have to have certain amount of portions of each one, healthy versus junk food. In a culture bombarded by a glut of information, but so little wisdom, we need healthier habits in order to grow in wisdom, in order to truly seek him. So the foundation of the pyramid level there is the Bible. And then next up on that pyramid is the church. And the next level up on that is nature and beauty, followed by books like Think Christian books and stuff like that. And then the next one up is the internet. And the smallest, tiniest category, the junk food category at the very top, right, is social media. But the truth is, too many Christians have this pyramid upside down. We have this completely upside down. Most of us spend the bulk of our time on social media. And if it's not on social media, like people say this to me all the time, Kevin, I don't do social media. You're on the internet all the time though, right? You get everything else. You spend hours on the internet. And if you disagree, all of you who have iPhones get weekly updates on how many hours you spent the last week on your phone at screen time. So everyone has that. And then after that, we do Christian books. And after Christian books, we go, well, you know what? If we have time, we might get outside and see some beauty and reflect on God. And then I might go to church and the Bible, you know. I don't know about all that. I don't even know where my Bible is, maybe. If we're going to seek him in 2022, the Bible has to be a substantial part of my plan. I have to flip my pyramid upside down. Well, what's next? Second, I'd say is that if you really want to seek him in 2022, it's imperative to persist in prayer. Proverbs chapter 19 says, "Whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way." And you're like, how does that attach to prayer? Well, in a hyper-connected culture of immediate gratification and instant answers, God's way is for us to slow down and pray. Your office wants you to speed up and work faster. I think God wants you to slow down and pray. Proverbs 21 says, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Most of the bad decisions that I make are the result of not taking the necessary time to lay things out before the Lord. Almost all of them. When I reflected back on this year, almost every poor decision had to do with that. So here's a tough lesson I'm learning. If I truly want to seek him in all things, then when possible, choose to pray and ponder for at least a day before making a decision. Now, I didn't say take a day and call your friends and have a gossip session about what they think and then go talk to the person over here what they think. That's not what I said. I said take a day and pray and ponder before making a decision. See, but we have to be careful, though. Some of you are like, amen, Kevin, preach. But sometimes prayer can be an excuse for indecision, too. And sometimes prayer can be a lack of obedience to God's revealed word. Like, you know what you're supposed to do, but you're like, yeah, I'm just going to pray about that. You know what you're supposed to do. And sometimes I think prayer can be a substitute for courage. When you pray, I would encourage you to pray for his power. Pray that you would, that he would give you the courage and the strength to be dependent on him. Don't ask him to do what you're supposed to do. Stop asking him to do what he's clearly said he wants you to do. Pray and obey. Pray and do not procrastinate in doing what he's commissioned you to do. Want to know a clear example here, and you're probably not going to like it? I do not pray that God would bless my marriage if I fail to love and lead my wife. I do not pray for my kids to follow Jesus if I'm a passive father and spiritually lifeless. I do not pray for God to provide finances for this church if I do not give. I have not obeyed, so I should be praying for other things. Recently, I've been growing in my prayer life, and I've looked up several prayers and scriptures because I want to pray God's word. That's what I want to do. And I found myself stuck in Proverbs 30, and it's a pretty simple prayer. And you're like, why are you praying this? This is what it says. It says, "I ask two things from you, Lord. Don't refuse me before I die. Keep me from lying and being dishonest, and don't make me either rich or poor. Just give me enough for each day. If I have too much, I might reject you and say, I don't know the Lord. If I'm poor, I might steal and disgrace the name of God." That's what I'm praying for right now, to be truthful and to be content. If you really want to seek him in 2022, persist in prayer. Now, some of you are like, Kevin, this is the world's easiest sermon. I could have told you those two. That's like low-hanging fruit. Every pastor in the world says, you know, read your Bible and pray, right? But you realize, yes, I realize those are no-duh things, but so many in the church today don't do the no-duh things. These are the things we actually need to start with. Everything, I think, starts here. But what's the third one then? Well, the third one will really help you in 2022 is ask yourself as often as you possibly can, what are my motives? What are my motives? What really is motivating me here? Proverbs 16:2 says it's important to monitor our motives. It says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. And the question I'd have you ask is, do you have any blind spots in your life? You just don't see clearly there. Do you have any unconfessed sin? Is Jesus occupying first place in your life, or do you just say he is in your life group? Do you just say he is on Sundays and Wednesdays when you're at church? Proverbs chapter 3 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. I say this because I don't know about you, but I found that it's easy to do what sounds best. I think it's easy to do what feels good only to end up in the ditch. Proverbs chapter 16 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. So as I've monitored my motives, I find myself praying something like this lately. God, this makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm excited about it. Or, God, this makes no sense to me, and I'm really fearful or anxious about it. But I want you to know that I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to think whatever you want me to think. That's all. What do you want? I have to learn the joyful and scary place where I want something so badly, and God says no, and I'm good with that. Or I don't want to do something, and God says, yes, Kevin, do it, and I want to be joyful in that. My motives must be laid at his feet. The fourth way I need to seek him in 2022 is I need more wise, sold-out followers of Jesus in my life. I don't need more spiritually blind and lame followers of Jesus in my life. I know that sounds very judgmental, and I don't mean it that way, but when I've got big decisions in my life, I need to go to people who are sold out for Jesus, who will pray for me, who will pray with me, who will walk with me through something. I have to stop asking people who are spiritually blind to weigh in on my parenting. I have to stop asking people who are spiritually blind to weigh in on my marriage, to weigh in on my priorities, on my possible job change, or anything and everything. Why do we ask non-believers or the spiritually shallow friends to weigh in on my decisions or thoughts? Proverbs alone is filled with addressing this idea. Over and over and over again, it says, you need to seek a group of people. And I'm going to read some of these passages, and I need you to know each one is about sold-out followers of God. Proverbs chapter 11 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. It's not just any kind of counselor. These are sold out followers of God. Proverbs 12 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Not just any advice. Sold out followers are giving advice here. Proverbs 18 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Proverbs 19 is especially helpful to those who are younger. Proverbs 19:20, it says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. These verses aren't about just any advice. It's advice from sold out followers of Jesus. I need more of those people in my life in 2022. I got lots of other people in my life. I need more of these people. The fifth way I need to seek him this year is by asking the question, how is my past affecting me? How is my past affecting me? We have to be careful about falling into past patterns and allowing unholy habits to affect us. Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. So a fool is one who keeps returning to his foul folly. It's time to stop allowing my dysfunction to determine the decisions I make. I have to be mindful of the triggers that propel me back to past patterns. Some of you need to look at your past and go, what are the things that draw me back to the person I used to be that I don't want to be anymore? We often hear it said, especially in movies, follow your heart, right? We've heard this. We even maybe have said this to our kids. Well, just follow your heart. Now, that might make for a good Disney movie, but that idea directly contradicts Scripture. It's the exact opposite of what Scripture says. Scripture nowhere ever says, follow your heart. In fact, I could quote all sorts of Scripture here, but one of them, Jeremiah 17:9, says it's a dangerous way to live. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And yet we say, follow your heart. That makes no sense to me. Seeking him means that I stop listening to my past as the sole guide for my future. And the past sometimes is filled with dysfunction, and sometimes it's filled with really bad cliches that have snuck into my head through maybe something in my home or something I've read or something I've watched. I can't use them as the guide for my future. Our hurtful and dysfunctional past or the stuff that's filled with these strange lies that have snuck in there, they derail us from seeking him far more frequently than we want to admit. The sixth way we can seek him in 2022 is to start asking the question, how will this decision I'm about to make enable me to revere and draw near to God? And some of you are like, I'm supposed to ask that all the time. Uh-huh. So, Kevin, when we go out to eat, I'm supposed to ask, how is this decision? If my family can all, I don't know if your family's the same way as mine, making a decision on where you're going to eat after church is like the France Peace Accords, right? Like, I can't figure out how we're going to do this. Yeah, every decision you make, how does that revere and draw near to God? Psalm 25:12 says, who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. It's why Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. On too many days, I fear that many of us we've brought into the belief that God wants us to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. Somehow that's got into our lives. And that's a dangerous deception. God is committed to my holiness, not my happiness. God is committed to your holiness, not your happiness. And some of you are like, well, I don't like this very much. Yeah, Merry Christmas. Christmas is over, right? You know, I don't have to give you gifts anymore. I told you. But that's true. And in order for that to happen, sometimes he's going to take us through some really hard things. And I wonder if that's why James writes in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Here's the final thing. Seventh thing in regards to seeking Christ in 2022, I have to make sure that I'm surrendered to God's sovereignty. And some of you are like, I don't even know what that means. Well, I need to be good with whatever God says is for my good. I have to be good with whatever God says is for my good. Proverbs 16:9 says, God will accomplish his way and his will according to his purposes. It says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Proverbs 21 says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And at this point, you have to be wondering, Kevin, are we starting a new psalm, like a new sermon series in Proverbs? Because all you've done is quote proverb after proverb after proverb this morning. Because you've done it like 50 times. No, we're not. But I hope you are. 31 Proverbs, 31 days in a month. Read a proverb, a chapter a day if you want to seek him. You want to know where I got that stuff from? God's word. Not that hard. I mean, he even numbered the book according to the days. You know, 31 days, 31 Proverbs, chapter day, grow in wisdom. You'll know what he says. If you want to seek him, then know what he says. Seek wisdom. Seek to understand. Learn how to pray differently and to pray in his will. Get into his word. Author and pastor John Ortberg believes there's a simple reason God put Proverbs in the Bible. He says, because we're prone to make dumb decisions. I like that. That's why God put it there, because we're prone to make dumb decisions. Here's now, as we close, is where I need you to open your Bible. Got your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. If you're new to your Bible, open to the very middle. You'll hit Psalms, go right. You know, right? Proverbs is the next book. So if you open the middle of your Bible, you're going to hit Psalms, go right. Proverbs 3. I want you to see this one, and I want to take a second and look at this together. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are one of the most famous and familiar passages in the entire Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Or he will make straight your paths. All the Bibles say something a little different here depending on your translation. This passage gives you and I two key responsibilities. We're called to lean on the Lord and learn to love him with everything we have. And when we do this, he promises to lead us. If you will lean and learn, he says, I promise that I will lead. That's our task, lean and learn. The Lord will lead us. What's crazy to me is that somewhere along the way, we have made seeking God all about location. Like, where should I be? Kevin, do I have to be the church? Or we've made it about vocation. Like, what should I do? When God is more about our transformation, who should I be? The question is not, where are you going, but what kind of person are you going to be wherever you go? What kind of person are you going to be wherever you go? That's seeking him. Seeking him is less about knowing a roadmap and more about growing in relationship with him. The point of all of those seven things I said earlier come down to what Proverbs 3 says. Seeking is about leaning and learning. Because that word trust there literally means to lean with the whole body, like walking with a walker or with a cane, where if that gets pulled out, you're going to fall over. You're resting your full weight on him for deliverance and for direction. And that title, Lord, there is Yahweh or Jehovah. And it focuses on God's covenant-making and promise-keeping character. So we're called to trust this unchanging one who can be counted on. And notice that it's a full, total trust. It's not like a partial trust. Not a trust with the things I feel comfortable trusting him with. No, this is complete commitment. Trust in the Lord, it says, with all your heart. The word all, in case you're wondering, means all. That's the Hebrew too. It's Greek. All means all, every part, every aspect, your entire whole. The same word, by the way, is used in Leviticus chapter 6 to refer to an offering that is to be burned entirely. And you're like, that's weird that there's a connection like that, that it's used in Leviticus for a burnt offering. It has to be burned completely. What's the point? God doesn't want half-baked sacrifices or half-hearted devotion. He doesn't want half-baked sacrifices, just like he doesn't want half-hearted devotion. That's why the word usage is the same. And this verse also says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Most of us think we're pretty good at figuring things out, don't we? Especially after Christmas, when you swooped in and got that perfect Christmas gift, you're feeling, yeah, I'm like a gift ninja. That's what you think. I've got it all figured out. I know how to take care of things. I can lean on my own understanding. But if we're serious about seeking him in 2022, we must fight against the internal inclination to trust what we think is best. Proverbs 28:26 puts it this way: whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Because he says, do this in all your ways. Do you realize when he says, when he talks about trusting him in all your ways, that's not a suggestion? That's an actual command. God is saying in everything you do, in every detail of your life, submit. And you may, as a kid, have learned this as acknowledge him. Same thing, submit and acknowledge, because here's how it's tied. That word usage is tied to a marriage relationship. The term is of intimate communion with someone else. And everything you do, make sure you know the Lord intimately, because submission to your lover, submission to your spouse is a joyful, wonderful thing. That's what he's saying here. That's what it means. And I love how the verse ends. It says that the Lord will lead us. When we lean and learn, it says he will lead. It says he will make straight your paths. Now, the word make here is attached to intensity. So it means God is going to do it with passion. And he's going to get busy doing it. That's what the word means here. But what the word that trips us up here is the word straight. Because if you're like me, you think straight. That's what you think. He's going to make my paths and he's going to make them straight. See, in ancient Israel, people generally traveled to their destination by foot. So they walked everywhere. Hilly and rocky terrain made the going difficult. Roads zigzagged between hills, and that made the journey even longer. Here's the hard truth. Straight doesn't mean easier. Straight doesn't mean faster. Straight doesn't mean boring. Straight means he will direct your paths, not you. Because straight, according to Kevin, and straight, according to God, are two very different things. For me, straight's right here, right there, to get me there fast, quickly, easy, just get me there. Not so much to God. What I think is the long way or the wrong way or the crazy way, oftentimes God knows is the perfect way for me. Not straight to me, but it's straight to him. When I fully surrender my life, my wants, my desires, my plans to him, and what he says is best for me, my paths become straight. But that's easier said than done, isn't it? I know this is hard stuff. This year, your staff, your council, your leaders, you as well, we have gathered in this room each week to seek him. We have gathered in small groups. We have gathered in ministry teams. We've gathered in Salt and Light to seek him. We've sought him for building projects. We've sought him for new hires. We've sought him in regards to generosity to the Southeastern Conference. We sought him for healing and direction and guidance and provision. We've sought him for salvation and new jobs and restored relationships. We've sought him at weddings and we've sought him at funerals, worshiping him at both. In 2022, may we once again lean on him. May we learn from him, loving him when things are good and what we want, and when they aren't and what we don't like. May he lead us in 2022 like never before. May we always continue seeking him. Amen.